the church to be like Jesus. And I'm not going to go into that too much tonight, but I will say, just to check it out, listen to that message on the website. But the gist of it is that Jesus wants us to be like him, and he's made it possible for us to be like him. And equipping is actually the process by which you and I come into the place of knowing who we are. And so in Jesus, he didn't just do something so we could get somewhere. He did something so we could become someone. Jesus, in going to the cross, he brought us back, he brought us back into relationship with God so that we could be a part of the family of God. And so equipping is actually about us realizing who we are now in Jesus as his sons and daughters, as sons and daughters of God, as part of the family of God, and beginning to live out that identity, live from that identity, so that actually what we do is the overflow of who we are, not the other way around. And so equipping is about identity as children of God, and just coming into the realization and the reminder over and over again of who we are now because of Jesus. And what he says about us, this new creation reality, that the old you is gone and the new you has come, and in fact, we're in the process of discovering who that new you is, who the new me is, just how new it is in Jesus, so we can live in it. So it's about identity, and it's about inheritance. Inheritance. Jesus, and going to the cross, he won something. His victory has actually now become our victory. He's actually shared what is rightfully his with his family. Tonight, I want to talk about what it means for us to engage as the church in the world. And there's, in some ways, a progression to this. Encounter is fundamental and it's ongoing. Equipping is vital to us actually beginning to grow up and become mature and start to realize who we are and not only recognize it, but then have the actions of our lives be reflecting that truth. And then this engaging piece is sort of what we do with that information. As we begin to be equipped in the truth that we are more like Jesus than we know because of him, and as we are equipped in the truth that we now have the Spirit in us, abiding with us, enabling us to do what he's called us to, and to actually reflect it in a way that when people look at our lives, they should see him. Engaging is then the piece of us taking that and living it out. Right where we are. In a context, in an environment, in real world relationships, real world environments, workplaces, and schools, and in a family, in friendships, in other relationships, easy and difficult, and in just everyday life. That's what engaging is about. And so I want to talk about that just a little bit tonight. What it means for us to engage as the church in the world. Jesus, before he went to the cross, in John 17, we hear the account, this intimate account of Jesus with his disciples. And he's speaking to them about a lot of different things before he goes. And then he transitions to this time of prayer that we have. One of the things he prays is that that God wouldn't take them out of the world, but that God would be with them as they're in the world. And that in fact, as they're with God and as he's with them, that the world would actually know him. Let's just read that real quick, because I did a pretty awesome job of reading it. It's in John 17. Let's read that for a second. He says this in verse 18. He says, "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." This is Jesus praying to the Father. He says, "For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through your message."
Hey, that's us.
"That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." So you see this correlation here, this powerful correlation that Jesus recognizes and is praying into on their behalf and on our behalf, that we'll be so one with God, which is Jesus, is the one that has made that possible, that we would have such a relationship with the Father and with Jesus that the world would know him through us and would believe. Powerful prayer. So engaging is us taking to heart what God says about us and who we are in him, and beginning to walk that out in real life, real situations, real problems, real challenges, real relationships. And in that way, we believe this powerful truth about relationships with God, this incredible truth that you realize God could have done this all by himself. In fact, you know, he recruited his disciples who, they were kind of slow catching on to the program and mission and what it meant to be like Jesus. Are you with me? But he chose them anyway. And his prayer was for them. And his prayer was, "Oh, by the way, I'm leaving. And when I leave, it's not going to be over. I'm actually commissioning you. I'm sending you to represent me." And in fact, what it says is that God actually believes and he's confident in what he's doing in us. Do you realize that? Like the disciples were probably pretty freaked out. They were pretty freaked out. They were like, "Where are you going?" But Jesus was confident in what had begun in him, that it would continue even after he left. And he actually said, "You know, it's better that I go, because I'm going to send my Spirit, and my Spirit is going to actually help you do greater things than even I did." God is actually very confident in his work through his people. And it's actually this amazing realization that God himself has decided to do it this way, because something amazing is happening and God is working through us to bring about the revelation and realization of who he is. That's his plan. And I don't know why he wants to do it that way, but I do believe that there's something amazing that happens when it actually works and when it's actually happening in real time. People seeing God through us, through his people. Something amazing happens for us if we just partner with him. And there's this humbling that happens when you realize, "God, I don't know why, but you chose me to be a part of this. Because you love me and you want me to share it." And amazing things happen when people see God working through you. And they realize, yeah, he's actually real. He does exist. And so this engagement piece actually starts at the end of the heart of God, where he says, "I'm inviting you into not only sharing what I have, but sharing in what I'm about." And that's this incredible privilege. Maybe at times it feels like incredible responsibility, which it is. But it's actually something that God is saying, "I'm inviting you into this, and I want you to be a part of it." And something amazing will happen in the years when people take part in this call and this commission to be, to share who I am and what I have with the world. Is with me? Alright. I want to read one more passage and then just share with the folks here. Go to Colossians with me. Sorry, right before we get out of here, this is from Matthew. This is Jesus talking about his people, talking about what it means to represent him. You got the Matthew passage?
There it is.
You're on it.
It says, "You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You're the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Again, it's just this picture of Jesus saying, your life matters. The way you live matters. And in fact, you've been called to live in such a way that when people see you, they actually benefit from your existence. And in fact, when they see you, they see your life lived, not only do they benefit from your existence, like salt and light enhances the environment that it's in, salt enhances the flavor of what it's put on, light helps you see in dark places. It says, but they're going to see your Father, and they're going to glorify him. She says, your life matters. You actually taking what you say you believe and walking it out, representing me, where you go, as you go, it matters, because when people see that, and they see me in you, and they will see God. That's powerful. Let's read this in Colossians. It's so good. Colossians 1, it says this, I'm going to actually back up, this is a tiny bit on that verse, and then maybe 27. It actually starts in 25, if I can read it, this Bible says to me. Well, by the way, the words in it. He says, I've become a servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. That's verse 25. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Again, just another way of saying that in fact, God is wanting to reveal himself to the world through your existence, through your life. Anybody ever felt a little overwhelmed by that reality that is true? We are on the journey of that. Can we just be honest about it? I want to make you feel better about this. It's so funny because last week I talked about choosing and setting your sights on being like Jesus and saying yes to that and then embracing the journey of that. One part embraces the journey, and that is realizing that there will be moments and days and even weeks where you miss it. You miss it. That's part of walking it out. If you don't ever miss it, then you're probably not walking it out. This past week was challenging, and at moments it was discouraging for me. And it was at moments it was a roller coaster ride. And I think it's so funny that I'm talking to you guys about this last Sunday about that we get to be like Jesus. And then Monday I found it really hard to be like Jesus. I mean, usually Mondays are like that. I know they can be like that. I have a couple of shirts in my wardrobe that help me. One says, "Today is a good day." And I wear that shirt actually on days. If I'm really preemptively thinking about it, will pick that shirt on a day where I need to be reminded and held accountable to the truth of it. Like, I don't want that shirt to go take care of traffic violations. Because it gets really a lot harder to be grumpy, you know, in those places when you're wearing a shirt that everybody can see and hold you accountable. It really helps. So I would just encourage you, if that's one of the ways money is difficult for you, get a shirt. Get a shirt that says today is a new day. And then just ask Jesus to help you live in the truth of it. Well, Monday I wasn't wearing that shirt. And even if I was, I don't know if it would help me. And I had a meeting with someone and it did not go well. It actually went so poorly that I walked out of the meeting. And I just lost my cool. I was frustrated and I was done. And I walked out of the meeting and I didn't get much further than my car before I was already just disappointed. Disappointed how it went, that conversation, but also just disappointed that I lost my cool, I lost my peace somewhere in that coffee shop. And disappointed that I'm pretty sure anybody that was there did not see Jesus. Or hear Jesus, as it were. And I reached out and I said sorry, and I reached out for prayer that anything could just say, look, I feel like I need to like let go of some things here, and I need to just do some forgiveness, and myself, someone else, all of that. And so I was working on that, and Tuesday I thought I was like in a better place. Monday was over, and just thank God for, you know, new starts, new days. But you know what? Tuesday, it wasn't over. And Tuesday felt just as bad as Monday, and I was at a car park store, and I got in a disagreement with the guy behind the counter. And I may have cursed in a general direction. Like, somewhere in the area. And then what made it worse was then I asked for the manager, and only kind of was there. Oh, that's a bad moment. He was a manager. That's the guy next to him. He's like, that guy. Yeah, he's the manager. And I'm like, good day. And I walked out. And I got to the car again. And same feeling. I was like, God, has anything changed? Like, it was just like bringing me back to some moments as an early Christian. Same kind of maybe fit. Maybe for something even less trivial or more trivial. And I was just discouraged, to be honest. And I was embarrassed. And at the same time, I was going to go back to the car store. So I just said, God, I need you to forgive me. And let me just start this over. And over the course of the week, I shared some of that with people around me. I said that with my wife. I may have cursed the general direction of the manager, as it turned out, at the car park store. And I shared that with some friends, and I'm sharing it with you. Just because, you know what? There's truth in that. And I think what I realized is that some days it's just difficult. Some days we don't live up to it. But the call remains. And I think, in fact, part of us walking on this journey of letting Jesus do a work in our heart and our lives, so that, in fact, tomorrow we look more like Him than we did yesterday, means the humility and of just acknowledging moments where we just very clearly just not there. We revert back to something that used to be our normal. And just saying, God, I'm still in the process.
so I just share that because I really believe that it's an important part of this for us. And when we talk about being like Jesus and walking this out and engaging with the world, you know what? It would be great if every moment, every Monday, when people looked at us, they saw Jesus, but some Mondays they don't. But what I want to say, and you've been sharing that, is that the call remains. The call remains. And I hope you hear the grace of God in that, because I'm hearing the grace of God in that as well, which is the call remains. The reason that there's grace in that is because God looks at us and he says, you know what? I know you're not there, but you will be. I know you're missing something right now. You don't see something that I see, but I'm going to help you. Because when you see it, then you'll begin to believe it and you'll start to live it. And so I'm still calling you to it. The call hasn't stopped. The bar remains. It's Jesus. And God isn't saying, get there. He's saying, come with me. And I'll get you there. And so the fact that the call remains is actually the grace of God in us. He's saying, I'm gonna just stick this out with you. As many Mondays as it takes, we're gonna just keep walking this out because it matters. It matters for you. And I see what you're becoming even before you see it. And I also see the same shortcomings you see. But I see them in light of my redemption. And it's far greater. It's far greater than your failure, your mistakes. And I just feel like God is saying to me and to us that when we find ourselves in that place, that we would just step back into the truth and hear his call again and receive it and actually just humble ourselves and say, God, I need you. I need you on Mondays more than I ever existed. And Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays. I need you. And perhaps it looks like reaching out to someone and saying, it's not happening right now. And I just need you to know. So I don't stay in this place of feeling bad for myself, or sorry for myself, or even just thinking that whatever it is okay. I don't even know where our time is, but we're going to wrap up in a moment. Oh, we're doing great. I think there's a lot more to this that we could talk about engaging with the world, what it looks like. I'll say this, each one of us has a unique place in that. And I believe that God is not only using the victories, but he's using the disappointments as well. And I think there's something powerful, there's something as powerful in the disappointments and the mistakes that God wants to do to show who he is to the world. And so don't write those off. But what it requires of us is it actually requires us to do something different than the world does when it makes mistakes. When we say that we have a Savior who forgives and who doesn't allow us to live in shame and guilt from all these things and actually allows us to live in the freedom of his forgiveness, and we have to walk in that. And what that actually means sometimes is we might have to go back to the car park store and say sorry. Because it's on my list this week, actually. And I'm not bringing what happened last week back in here. But I am going to bring the Jesus I know. And what that looks like for me is I can't reverse what happened last week, but I can go in there in the light and the truth of who he is to me, and it can be a different conversation. And I just want to encourage you guys as well that some mending and repairing, or at the very least bring peace in a place where there hasn't been, bring forgiveness in a place where there hasn't been. And so I just want to encourage us in that, because walking like Jesus, it looks like both walking in victory, but also walking in his redemption. Alright. Well, on that note, I just want to pray. Because tomorrow's Monday. And you know, in fact, maybe some things that we can do even though it's Sunday. So it's great. I want to read this as we, as part of this prayer. Just hear these words as God's truth spoken over us. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and make peace in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, and be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of God. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus, we thank you that you have rescued us from the old way of living into an entirely new way, a living way. A way that allows us to walk in victory, but also a way that covers our mistakes with your blood. A way that continues to see who we are before we see it. Who we are in you, what we have in you, what's possible, and what is coming to happen. So Jesus, we just thank you for that. We thank you. We ask that you would open up our lives to see your will. And not just to see it, but to do it. In the moments that we make mistakes, God, we will be quick to let your Spirit bring correction, to bring repair, to bring forgiveness, and to bring whatever's needed, God. And God, I just pray that we would, in those moments, we would remain in our mistake. But that we would find ourselves in you. And God, we want the world to see you. We want our friends to see you. We want our family to see you. We want our co-workers to see you. Be a representation. To reflect all of this and everything. To reflect as well. To actually walk it out. Thank you, God. You're so good to us. You're so kind. So patient. So able.